بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد So we begin المحاضرة This lecture today Which is for the noble sisters, al-akhawat, salafiyat, in Masjid al-Tawheed, in Stone Mountain, Georgia, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase them in beneficial knowledge and grant them success to perform righteous actions and to make them a benefit and a light for their community, for their families first and for their community. The title of the lesson, Al-Khushu' fi Salat. Al-Khushu' fi As-Salah. Having Al-Khushu' and humbleness, humility, sincere and devout worship. During the Salah. The word khushu', it comes from the Arabic verb khasha'a. Khasha'a yakhsha'u. Khushu'an. Which means, linguistically, to lower something. Or to be humble. Or to be in a state of humility. And likewise, to be in a state of surrender. Linguistically, the word khashi'a aw al-khushu' it means atatamun wa tadhallul wa sukun wa tawadu' wa al-khawf. And this is from the richness and the beauty of the Arabic language, that there will be one word like this word al-khushu', but in order to interpret it and to translate it or to mention its meaning and to define it, one will mention many different words and many different meanings. And like this, al-khushu', it has many different meanings. From them to be humble, from them to be submissive and to surrender, and from them to have rest and to be calm and to be humble and to have humility. Likewise, fear, al-khawf. All of this is from the meaning linguistically of the word al-khushu'. You say in the Arabic language, khashi'a ar-rajulu bi-basarihi. Khashi'a ar-rajulu ببصره أي غضه خشع الرجل ببصره meaning the man he lowered his gaze أي غض بصره he lowered his gaze he looked down and this is from the word خشع so this is from that meaning and likewise this has come in the book of Allah عز وجل وخشعت الأسوات للرحمن and the voices have been humbled and lowered before الرحمن the most gracious سبحانه وتعالى so this is the meaning linguistically. As for in the legislation, shar'an, or istilahan, in the legislative terminology of the word al-khushu', the ulama, they mention in summarization, it means huduru al-qalb, waqta talabbusihi bita'ati Allah, wa sukunu zahirihi wa batini. Huduru al-qalbi, the presence of the heart. The heart is alive. The heart is present. The mind is present. It's not in a state of heedlessness. حضور القلب وقت تلبسه بطاعة الله. At the time one is engaged in the obedience of Allah. Whenever the heart is present during the obedience of Allah, when one is engaged in performing the actions that are pleasing to Allah, and the heart is alive and the heart is aware and it is not heedless and it's not thinking about the affairs of the dunya, rather it's thinking about the issue at hand, and that is ibadah and surrender and submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remembering His greatness, tabaraka wa ta'ala, and remembering His authority and His command, and remembering oneself likewise, how weak we are, and under His decree, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the heart is present, and remembering this at this time, this is called al-khushu'. Nam wa sakunu zahirihi wa batinihi. And likewise, whenever the heart finds rest, and the body as well, outwardly and inwardly, it's peaceful and has tranquility. This is al-khushu', whenever the heart is present, while performing the actions of obedience to Allah. And the individual finds peace and surrenders himself humbly, and he's focused on the affair at hand. He's focused on the worship that he is engaged in and that he is involved in. So therefore we see al-khushu' ibadatun qalbiyatun azima, that this is a major and a great act of worship of the heart. But if this worship, al-khushu', is performed properly by the heart, it will have traces and it will have effects, and it will show on the body parts. Al-khushu', it comes from the complete knowledge of a person, the person who has the proper understanding, and his knowledge is strong, and his understanding is strong of his Lord, the knowledge of al-tawheed, the knowledge of the lordship of Allah Azza wa Jalla and his authority and his command, and knowing that he alone is the creator and sustainer and provider of the heavens and the earth. Whenever a servant, he is aware of this and he knows this, and he has strong knowledge of this affair, and it becomes deeply rooted in the heart, at this time the heart will have khushu', and it will have humility and humbleness before the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it will love him, and it will have reverence of Allah. So therefore khushu', this great act of worship, تصدر من كمال معرفة العبد بربه وصفاته سبحانه وتعالى وأفعاله. It comes from, where is it derived from? How can one increase in khushu'? First, one must learn about who is Allah. One must know who the Rabb is. One must know about his tawheed and his lordship, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his names and his attributes and his actions, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that he has no deficiencies whatsoever, tabaraka wa ta'ala, that he is alive and he never dies, and he does not get hungry, whether he feeds and he's not fed. Yut'imu wa la yut'am, subhanahu wa ta'ala, hayyun la yamut, hayyun la yamut. The more a believer, he learns about the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the stronger his relationship will be with him, and the more the khushu' and the humbleness and the humility and the fact that the heart will be able to surrender to him will be greater, and a believer, he will fear Allah even more. The more a person learns about Allah, the more he will fear him. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاء. Likewise, from the means to obtain, or where this khushu' proceeds from, not only from the servant, from the slave, from an individual, male or female, knowing about their Lord, and knowing about the tawheed of their Lord, and the rights of their Lord, of the Rabb, subhanahu wa ta'ala, likewise knowing the reality of their own soul, and knowing the reality of their own self, and that they are created, and what they are created from, and that they are sustained, and who is the one sustaining them, the one who has created them from that, and the one who is providing for them and sustaining them, and taking care of their affairs, and disposing of their affairs for them in the best way. Learning that and remembering that a person, he has a Lord, that means he is marbub, that means that he is provided for, and he is a creature, and he is sustained, and he is weak, and he is dependent entirely, and in need entirely, in dire need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to aid him and support him and to guide him and to help him and to bless him in every single affair that he does, inwardly and outwardly. Whenever a believer, he realizes these affairs, then it will be a means for the khushu' to grow and to go deep into the heart and to be strong. And this is the issue here, al-khushu'. Naam, and it comes from this, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and worshipping him alone, and knowing who one is. One is a slave, one is a servant, knowing oneself and one's weakness and need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whenever this understanding and this knowledge of al-tawheed and knowledge of al-Islam and the proper deen and the proper creed and aqidah with regards to the Rabb subhanahu wa ta'ala and his rights, the greater this knowledge is, the greater the khushu' will be in the heart, and the greater the heart will strive to surrender and to be obedient, and likewise following behind that will be the body parts. So therefore this is an affair that the believers, they compete and they race to strive to obtain, and they compete in the ranks of piety and righteousness and obedience to Allah, hoping to gain these ranks. The issue here is about al-khushu' fi salat. But the believers who are strong and they strive against their souls, they can have they can have by the blessing of Allah this great act of worship with them in their hearts, whether their hearts will be full of khushu' at all times, in public and in private, in salat and in outside of salat. And this is from the favor and the blessing of Allah for those who strive against their souls to be obedient, to be upright, and to learn that which is pleasing to Allah, and to comply, and to learn that which is displeasing to Allah, and to avoid that and refrain from that, and to stay away from that, inwardly and outwardly, in public and in private. This time, the heart can be overcome and touched by the humbleness and the humility before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His greatness. And he will be able to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inwardly and outwardly at all times. We see that the word al-khushu', it has a meaning that is close to the word al-khudu'. Also, another Arabic word, al-khushu'u wal-khudu'. And they're both on the same scale, khashya'a wa khada'a, min babi fataha. Khushu'an wa khudu'an. Now, the ulama, they mention al-khudu'a similarly, like al-khushu', to be humble and to show humility and to surrender and to be submissive. But the ulama, they mention that al-khudu'a yukunu fil-badin, wal-khushu'u yukunu fil-qalbi wal-basari wal-sawt. That al-khudu', this type of submission and surrender, will be on the body parts. Will be on the body parts. And al-khushu', this occurs in the heart. And likewise in the eyesight and in the voice. For a person, he can be humble and lower himself and have khushu' in his voice and the way that he speaks, as we have seen in that verse in Surah Al-Taha. And likewise in his eyesight. We've seen in the example of that. وَخَشَعَ الرَّجُلُ بِبَصَرِهِ أَيْغَضَّهُ أَيْغَضَّهُ. And likewise in the heart. And this is the ibadah. But whenever the khushu' is strong in the heart, the body parts, they follow behind. Al-Imam al-Sa'di rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned a beautiful and very beneficial definition of al-khushu'. And he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, huwa khudu' al-qalbi wa tumaninatuhu wa sukunuhu lillahi ta'ala wa inkisaruhu bayna yadayhi dhullan wa iftiqaran wa imanan bihi wa biliqaihi subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-khushu' al-Imam al-Sa'di, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, it is huwa khudu'u al-qalb. It is the fact that the heart will surrender and submit. وَطُمَأْنِينَتُهُ. And that it would have peacefulness and rest and tranquility. وَسُكُونُهُ. And that it will be still and it will have calmness. Huh? For who? لِلَّهِ. لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى. That the heart will be like this, submissive. And it will be tranquil and peaceful and have ease and surrender and be humble and have humility towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَانْكِسَارُهُ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ ظُلًّا وَافْتِقَارًا. And that it would break down, meaning that one would realize that the dire need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it would break down in front of him out of humbleness and humility, and out of dire need before him subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِيمَانًا بِهِ. And having sincere faith in him. وَبِلِقَائِهِ. And in his meeting subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who remembers these affairs, it will be a means for the khushu' to grow in his heart, to remember who he is and where he came from, and to remember where he's going to and his outcome, and to remember the day of the meeting of the Creator, the meeting of the Rabb, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, this is in general the meaning of al-khushu'. But now, we want to discuss specifically our topic, and that is al-khushu'u fi salah. Al-khushu' fi as-salah. Having this humility and humbleness, and having the surrender of the heart, likewise the body parts during the prayer in general, but the most important time to have this from the different types of salawat, the obligatory prayer. Rather in every prayer, but even more specific, and even the greater need to have this khushu' in the obligatory prayer, drawing near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this great act of worship. So there is no doubt about it whatsoever that being devoted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala entirely during the prayer, and having humbleness and humility and submission before Him, and having a dire need and want and desire and hope in Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and sincere faith in His promise and in His meeting tabaraka wa ta'ala during the prayer specifically. At all times a believer, he has this creed and this faith, but during the prayer this comes to mind and he remembers this. قَلْبُهُ حَاضِرٌ. His heart is present, alive with these affairs. حَيٌّ. With these issues in his heart or in her heart. And no doubt that this is from the most important affairs. And this is from the most beneficial affairs for a believer likewise. And in reality, this is, as the ulama, they mention, ruhu salati وَلُبُّهَا وَمَكْسُودُهَا. رُوحُ الصَّلَاةِ, this is the soul of the salah, and the essence of the salah, and the intent behind the legislation and the establishment of the prayer, for the heart to be present, and for the heart to be full of love, and fear, and reverence, and hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and surrender to Him alone, and submit before Him, tabaraka wa ta'ala, and to need Him, and to want Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to want Him to accept the deed, and to hope that He will accept the deed, tabaraka wa ta'ala. So, therefore, this khushu' it must be present in the salat from the beginning to the end. From the beginning to the end, from the standing, there must be khushu' and the recitation, and the recitation, and the tilawa, there must be khushu' and the ruku' and the rafa, raising from the ruku', and also standing up straight after the ruku' and the sujood, and sitting between the two sajda. All of this, whether one is male or female, it's requirement. It's a requirement to have khushu' in these affairs, and to perform them properly. So we see, barakallahu fikunna, that al-khushu' is ibadah. It's an act of worship. And likewise, as-salah is ibadah, rather from the greatest acts of worship. And it's not permissible, nor is it pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that one will approach the worship of Allah azza wa jal in a state of heedlessness, in a state of forgetfulness, in a state of negligence. And even if the body parts they perform properly and they move accordingly, and according to the sunnah, but the heart is not alive and the heart is not present, rather the heart is ghafil and la, preoccupied with the affairs of the dunya, this is not permissible to worship Allah in this manner. Allahu Akbar, Allahu subhanahu wa ta'ala, aliyun kabir, He is much greater than that. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the believer will approach the worship in this manner, bi qalbin ghafilin la. And this is something that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he has mentioned. And I think the narration narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu is collected by Tirmidhi rahimahullah. And in this narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, i'lamu, that you must know, and Allah la yastajibu du'a'an min qalbin ghafilin la. You must know that Allah, He does not respond to the supplication, to the du'a, to the supplication of a heart that is heedless and preoccupied. Yani preoccupied with the dunya. Preoccupied with the affairs of the dunya, that is heedless. That Allah, He does not respond to the supplication. And a salat is a type of supplication, calling an invocation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The end of du'a ibadah. Kama dhakara nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Supplication is ibadah. So therefore the salat, it has to be performed in the proper manner. And from that, the heart must be present. The heart must be alive and not be heedless. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has mentioned this in His book. And He mentioned, وَأَقِيمَ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي, and establish the prayer for my remembrance. وَالْغَفْلَةُ, yani heedlessness. تُنَافِيَ ذِكْر, it is contrary. And this is negating and opposite to remembrance. وَأَقِيمَ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي, and establish the salat, the prayer, for my remembrance. To come in a state of heedlessness, a state of ghafla, and being unaware or being preoccupied in lahu, and the likes like this with the affairs of the dunya, this is contrary to the command and the purpose and the reason from the legislation of the prayer. And likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has prohibited His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from being from the heedless. And with regards to this, His ummah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are following behind Him with regards to this prohibition. And Allah, He mentioned, وَلَا تَكُنْ مِنَ الْغَافِرِينَ, and do not be from the heedless. وَلَا تَكُنْ مِنَ الْغَافِرِينَ, and do not be from those heedless people, the negligent and the forgetful of where they came from, the forgetful of the rights of their Lord, forgetful that they have been created in a womb, and they are returning to their Creator subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they will be held accountable, forgetful that there are angels writing their deeds and taking their record, and that everything they have mentioned and said has been recorded, and they will see it. Forgetful of that. لَا تَكُنْ مِنَ الْغَافِرِينَ, do not be heedless. Do not be heedless of your Lord and His rights, and His greatness and His blessings, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is something that is contrary to the salat, and it's contrary to ibadah, and it's contrary to the reason why we're created. We're created to worship Allah alone, and to love Him, and to show thanks to Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to comply to His commandments, and to follow His message that He has sent, and that He has sealed, and His sharia, subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the message of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now we see the status of al-khushu' and salah, and that it's an obligation to have it from the beginning to the end. And it's a requirement to have al-khushur and the prayer from the beginning to the end. And this is something that a believer, he must strive for, and he must hope for, and he must seek the aid and the help of Allah to obtain. And the one who has reached this level to perform the prayer in this manner as legislated, he will taste the sweetness of the salat, and he will taste the sweetness of the prayer. And this will be the prayer that prohibits him from falsehood. إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ The prayer that is performed like this with khushu' in this manner, this is the one that will prohibit a person, a believer, from falling into indecency and foul things. So we mention now a mas'ala, an issue in the deen, and that is the ruling of khushu' and salah. مَا حُكْمُ الْخُشُوعِ فِي الصَّلَاةِ What is the ruling? What is the legislative ruling of having humility and humbleness, al-khushu' and surrender and submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hope and fear and love in Him during the prayer? What is the ruling for this issue? The ulama, they have mentioned, and it is well known to you, وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدِ Since you are studying the issue of as-salah, and from that studying the pillars and the conditions and the obligations and the sunan of the prayer, so therefore it is known that the salah, it has pillars. That the salah, it has pillars, great pillars, that if one of them is not performed properly, then the entire prayer will be invalidated. And it will be incumbent upon the believer to repeat their prayer. If he left off a pillar, whether intentionally or unintentionally, his prayer will not be correct. Rather, he has to perform it again properly and bring that pillar. From those great pillars of as-salah, the ulama, they mention at-tuma'nina. At-tuma'nina, which is considered tranquility, and also humbleness, and ease. But at-tuma'nina in salah, also some of the ulama, they mention as well, and they call it al-khushu'. Al-khushu' fi salah. So sometimes the ulama, they will refer to al-khushu' in salah, and they are speaking about the issue of at-tuma'nina, which is a pillar, ruknun, min arkan as-salah. So therefore, with regards to this, if a person did not have this khushu', this type of khushu', which is considered a pillar in the prayer, then his salat will not be accepted, and his salat will not be correct, and the obligation to perform that prayer will still be upon that person, and he will not fulfill that obligation until it's performed properly. And from that is that he brings at-tumanina and al-khushu' in the prayer. But what is being referred to here is in the outward appearance of the prayer. And this means that a believer must perform the salah from the beginning to the end and perform every position in the prayer properly. And that means to go to each position of the prayer and to remain there until all of the joints and the bones of the body, they meet that position. And then to go back to the next position or the next position after that, and for the body parts to completely go back to the position that they were before. For example, if somebody is in Qiyam, in order to make the pillar of Ruku' with Tumanina, and to fulfill the pillar of Tumanina in the Ruku', that he will bend down and he will make the Ruku' until he is flat. And he will stay there until all of his body part is still and his body is still in that position, and he will make the Adhkar, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, in this manner. And whenever his body comes to this position, at this time he has fulfilled the pillar of Tumanina. And then he must raise all the way back up until his backbones become straight again. At this time he has fulfilled the pillar of Al-Khushu' or Tumanina. The one that we're discussing now, which is a pillar, and the Salat is not correct without this. So therefore, if a person, he made Ruku' and he just bent down real fast and bent back up, he didn't bend all the way over. Or if whenever he raised up, he didn't raise all the way back up. He raised halfway up from Ruku' and then went straight to Sujood. This will not be accepted. So this amount of Al-Khushu' or also what is known to the scholars of fiqh as Tumanina, this is an obligation. Likewise, if a person was in Sujood and he just pecked at the ground and went down and went back up and went down and went back up real fast, yani without raising all the way back up properly and without resting his head properly on the ground in this manner, like they say, pecking at the ground, naqara, a naqr, like a bird. He did not fulfill in this manner the obligation, rather the pillar of at-tumanina wal-khushu' in the salat. Rather, he has to go down in the sujood and go and put all of his hands and his knees and his feet and his head and nose in the position of sujood and rest there for a moment until he is in that position properly. And he can be there long enough to make the adhkar that are legislated there properly. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. In this manner, and then raise back up until he's sitting properly. And then go back down. As for those who race, then they did not fulfill this great pillar of at-tumanina, and therefore, this is the type of khushu' that is a pillar, an obligation in the prayer, and the prayer will not be accepted without it. And the prayer will not be correct and accepted without it. The individual who prayed like that, he would have to go back and perform his prayer again. Even if he was ignorant of this ruling. And this has been established in the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, in Sahihain, and it's known to the ulama as Hadith al-Musi'i Salatahu. Hadith al-Musi'i Salatahu. The narration of the one who prayed bad. And it has come that a man, he came into the masjid with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then he went and prayed. And then he came back and he gave salam to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the messenger. He said to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, irji' fa salli fa innaka lam tusalli. Go back and pray. Verily, you did not pray. So he did that again. And then he came back to the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He prayed the way that he prayed before. And the Prophet, he said the same thing to him. Irji' fa salli fa innaka lam tusalli. Go back and pray. Verily, you did not pray. Until this happened three times. And on the third time, the man, he told the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَالَّذِي بَعَثَكَ بِالْحَقِّ مَا أُحْسِنُ غَيْرَهُ فَعَلِّمْنِي. He said, I swear by the one who sent you with the truth, I'm not able to do better than this. Teach me. Teach me. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he taught him. And he said to him, إِذَا كُمْتَ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ فَكَبِّرْ ثُمْ اقْرَأْ مَا تَيَسَّرَ مَعَكَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. If you stand up for the prayer, then make takbir, Allahu Akbar. And then you read that which is easy for you from the Qur'an. ثُمْ اِرْكَعْ حَتَّى تَطْمَئِنَّ رَاكِعًا. And here's the evidence and the shahid. And then you make ruku' until you have tranquility while you're in ruku'. حَتَّى تَطْمَئِنَّ رَاكِعًا. Until you have ruku', until you have al-khushu', al-tumma'nina. And the ulama they mention here, that means that he will go to ruku' until he is flat and all of his body has come to a rest in that position. In that position. ثُمْ اِرْفَعْ حَتَّى تَعْتَدِلَ قَائِمًا. And then you raise up until you are standing straight back up entirely. Until you're standing straight back up entirely. ثُمْ مَسْجُودْ حَتَّى تَطْمَئِنَّ سَاجِدًا. And then make prostration until you find the tranquility in prostration. And يَتُمَّنِينَ. Meaning that all of the body parts of prostration, the seven of them, they have touched. يعني the hand, the toes, and the two hands and the two knees and the forehead along with the nose. It has touched the ground and it has rested there. At this time he has fulfilled the pillar of al-khushu'. يعني التمأنينة. ثم رفع حتى تطمئن جالسا. And then you raise up until you find tranquility and you sit still while you're sitting. And you are still at rest while you're sitting. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told him, وَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ فِي صَلَاتِكَ كُلِّهَا. And you must do like this in your prayer entirety, all of it. Do the whole prayer like this. Yani every prayer, the obligatory prayer, the non-obligatory prayer, and likewise the prayer, all of it from the beginning to the end. It must be performed in this manner. So therefore we see with regards to al-khushu' fi salah, this is a type of khushu' that the prayer will not be accepted without. And it's an obligation and it's a pillar and it's a rukn. And that means that the individual will go to the position of the prayer and he will remain there until his body becomes still in that position. And then he will return to the position that he was in before or the position that is next until his body is still in that position. And all of his bones go back to the manner that they were before. And all of his bones and his body goes back to the manner that he was in before. So this is with regards to al-khushu' fi salah. The khushu' that is an obligation and a pillar from the prayer. And it's also known as al-tumanina. Al-tumanina. But there is another type of khushu', and this is most likely the intent behind the request for this class, to have khushu' and salat, meaning the khushu' of the heart, and to have the heart surrender and the submission of the heart, and to have the heart in a state of peace and tranquility during the prayer. And this is the second issue that we discuss with regards to al-khushu' fi salah. So therefore, it is known that an individual, he could perform the prayer properly, accordingly, just as has mentioned with tumanina, and in the body parts and in the movements, performing all of the pillars properly, and he could perform it outwardly, precisely to the legislation, according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, while inwardly he's forgetful, or inwardly he is dealing with whispers and wasawis from shaitan, or inwardly he's speaking to himself and talking about what he would do later, or what he did yesterday, or what he's going to say to so-and-so, or he's thinking about some affairs, or he's thinking about issues of the dunya and things that he likes or dislikes, like this during the prayer. Outwardly he has tumanina, yani according to that which is legislated, according to that which is required, what the ulama they have mentioned. But inwardly, he's heedless. This type of individual, the ulama they mention that his prayer is correct. And meaning that if he prayed in that manner, his prayer would be correct. As long as he fulfilled the pillars of the prayer and the conditions of the prayer and the likes like this, properly, outwardly, then even if he was negligent and heedless from the beginning of the salah to the end, he does not know what he's saying, nor does he know what is being recited, and the likes like this, and he's not paying attention, and he's thinking about the dunya the entire time, he would not be required to make the prayer up. The prayer would suffice him. Although the reward will be deficient, and the reward that he will have will be according to how much khushu' that he had, how much remembrance of Allah that he had, and how much humility and humbleness that he had during the prayer. This will determine how great the reward is. This will determine how great the reward is. So therefore, a believer has to strive in the prayer to perform it properly outwardly, and according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and likewise according perform it properly inwardly, and with sincere tawheed and ikhlas, and siddq and truthfulness, and to be focused and to be aware what one is reciting and what one is saying, and to be aware and to remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can see the individual and hear all of his actions and know all of his affairs, and to know him subhanahu wa ta'ala by his names and attributes, and that he's worthy of worship, and that he is the greatest subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that he is perfect in his names and attributes subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he's worthy of worship tabaraka wa ta'ala. This is to have the khushu' there. So an individual, according to how well he strives to have this type of khushu' in the heart, and it's the presence of the heart, and the ease and the contentment of the heart and the awareness of the heart during the prayer, this will determine how much reward he will have. Although this issue here is not a condition for the correctness of the salat. It's an obligation. The ulama they mentioned, Shaykh Uthaymeen rahimahullah, it's an obligation. But if he did not have it, it would not invalidate his prayer. It would not invalidate his prayer, but the reward will be deficient, and the reward will be decreased. But we should know that these whispers and this heedlessness during the prayer and forgetfulness in the prayer and not having khushu' in the prayer, or the heart not being alive or being aware and focused on the worship at hand and the likes like this, and this is a calamity. This is a calamity. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And this proceeds from love of the dunya and having preference of the dunya. So much so that a believer, if his heart is full of the love of the dunya until it has overcome his heart, he can make wudu and be heedless. Make wudu which is beloved to Allah. And Allah yuhibbu at-tawabin wa yuhibbu al-mutatahirin. Allah, he loves those people who make wudu and purify themselves. But he may perform that heedlessly and forget. And then he will stand and face the qibla, and he will make takbir, and he will make ruku, and the whole time he's heedless and he forgot. This is proceeding from a disease in the heart, and the disease is the love of the dunya, until the individual is preoccupied with the dunya, even whenever he is performing the actions that he was created for, even whenever he is worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a believer, he has to strive against his soul to have this khushu' and to seek the aid from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to take the means, and to take the means. So therefore, the intent from this type of khushu', it is حضور القلب وعدم الالتفاء لشيء فيها, that the heart will be present during the entire salah, and that the heart will not look or think or turn to anything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will not be focusing or thinking about the affairs of the dunya. Rather, the heart will be thinking about the greatness of Allah and the magnificence of Allah and the blessings of Allah and the bounty of Allah and the promise of Allah and the threat of Allah and the meeting of Allah. At this time, the heart will be alive. It will be thinking about the words that one is saying and the adhkar that one is mentioning and the recitation that is being recited. It will think about these things and it will ponder over these words. And in this manner, a believer will be able to find al-khushu' in his heart and humbleness. And it will be able to find humility and to be submissive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jal, He mentioned in His book praising the believers, praising them and mentioning their lofty rank and status, and mentioning the fact that they are successful and they are winners and that they will obtain felicity and happiness in this life and in the hereafter. And Allah, He mentioned subhanahu wa ta'ala, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. That verily the believers, they are successful. Al-mu'minun, the believers here, referring to those believers with strong faith. Those believers who have fulfilled the obligations of al-iman. They have brought al-iman and wajib. And likewise from them, those who even strive after that, and they perform the actions of faith, of al-iman, that are not obligatory. Al-iman al-mustahab. And the likes like this. This is not just any referring to the believers in general, any the Muslims, rather the people who are described with iman, strong faith. Strong faith and reliance and trust upon Allah and obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. And then he mentioned tabaraka wa ta'ala after this, their first trait, which is a means for them to have this falah and this sa'ada and this success and this happiness and goodness in this life and in the hereafter, أَلَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Those who, whenever they perform their prayer, they have al-khushu'. They have al-khushu'. They are humble and submissive. They are they have surrendered themselves during the prayer, and their hearts are alive and aware. And they are pondering, and they are not heedless. They are pondering over the recitation, over the words that they are saying. And likewise, they are pondering over the positions that they are in. And a believer, he will bow. And this is a state of humbleness, a state of humility, even greater than that. In humiliation, an individual put his face on the ground. He will put his face in the dirt. Yani before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a means for our individual to be raised. But one must not be heedless of this. One is lowering himself. One is bowing and prostrating before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rabbul Alameen. Shaykh As-Sadi rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned with regards to this verse that verily the believers, they are successful. Those whom whenever they perform their salat, they have khushu'ah. They are humble and submissive during the prayer. He says, "Al-khushu'u fi salat huwa hudur al-qalbi bayna yaday Allah ta'ala." That to have khushu' during the prayer, this means that the heart is present in front of Allah Azza wa Jal. Mustahdiran liqurbihi. At this time, the heart is present, but what is he remembering? What does he bring to mind? The nearness of Allah from him. And the nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from him by way of his knowledge, by way of his hearing, and by way of his sight, that Allah sees him and he knows him and he hears everything that he is doing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of everything that is happening to him and will happen to him, that is going on around him. Allah knows all of this. And mustahdiran liqurbihi, now that he is aware of how near Allah is. And likewise how near he will be to those who obey him, meaning near to him with aid and support and success and direction and guidance. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, he guides the believers and he's near to them by way of his aid and support. So whenever a believer, he calls on Allah and he worships Allah and he stands before Allah in this manner, at this time he will have the khushu'. Rather, this is the reality of al-khushu'u fi salat. He says now, the one who does this, فَيَسْكُونُ لِذَلِكَ قَلْبُهُ. At this time his heart will find ease. His heart will find ease and peace and tranquility. وَطَطْمَئِنُّ نَفْسُهُ. And likewise his soul will be at rest and have tranquility. وَتَسْكُنُ حَرَكَاتُهُ. And his movements will be still. Because as has preceded this issue here, it proceeds from the heart. It comes from the heart. And whenever one has this remembrance of Allah in his heart in this manner, and he is aware of the greatness of Allah and his names and his attributes, and he remembers the promise of Allah and the threat of Allah, at this time the body will be still. And whenever the heart humbles itself in this manner and cements, the body parts, they fall behind. وَتَسْكُنُ حَرَكَاتُهُ وَيَقِلُّ إِلْتِفَاتُهُ. And he stops looking around. Whenever the heart stops looking around at the dunya and the affairs of the dunya, the body likewise and the eyes likewise stop moving around as well. مُتَأَدِّبًا بَيْنَ يَدَيْ رَبِّهِ. Yani showing good manners and etiquettes in front of Allah. And all of this, he does this, why? The believer in the salat, يعني متأدبا بين يدي ربه, that he would do this out of discipline and having good manners and etiquettes with his Lord whenever he stands in front of him. And then he said, رحمه الله, مستحضرا جميع ما يقوله ويفعله في صلاته من أول صلاته إلى آخرها, that he will remember and call to mind likewise and reflect upon everything that he is saying and everything that he is doing during the prayer from the beginning to the end. From the beginning to the end. He said, فتنتفي بذلك الوساوس والأفكار الرديئة. So the one who performs this and this manner that has preceded, then at this time the whispers, they will go away. The whispers will go away, and those lowly thoughts, the thoughts of the dunya and the likes like this, at this time they will go away. وَهَذَا رُوحُ الصَّلَاةِ وَالْمَقْسُودُ مِنْهَا. And this is the soul of the prayer, and this is the intent from it. وَهُوَ الَّذِي يُكْتَبُ لِلْعَبْدِ. And this is the portion of the prayer that will be written for the servant, meaning that he will have a reward for. And he doesn't have a reward for just standing there in that manner, and being heedless. Rather, possibly a person could stand in that prayer and be heedless until the extent that he has a punishment. أَيَّذٍ بِاللَّهِ. He said, رَحِمُهُ. فالصلاة التي لا خشوع فيها ولا حضور قلب وإن كانت مجزئة مثابا عليها فإن الثواب على حسب ما يقل القلب منها. That verily the prayer that does not have خشوع and it does not have the presence of the heart, even though it will remove the obligation and a person may have a reward from it, verily the reward will only be according to how much the heart remembered or was aware or alive or present during the prayer. So therefore we see the status of al-khushu' and salah. And the means to obtain that, first and foremost, is to seek aid from Allah and to beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a heart that is alive, and to call on Him alone and to ask Him to aid an individual, to help him to worship Him in a manner that is pleasing to Him. And from that, like the supplication of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he would make at the end of the salah, before the taslim, Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatika. And likewise, it's legislated for a believer to make this dua at any time as well, outside of salah. Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatika. To call on Allah, to help and beg Allah to help the servant worship Him in a manner that's pleasing to Him, and to remember Him and to show thanks to Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then after that, by taking the means to learn how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed outwardly, properly, and then likewise to learn the statements and the adhkar and the alfaz that are mentioned in the prayer, and to understand them, and to understand them and to comprehend them. And then after that, one can begin to ponder upon them. And likewise, to learn some of the Qur'an, particularly the Fatiha, the meaning, and to ponder over the meanings. And the best and most beneficial way to have khushu' and humbleness and humility during the prayer is to learn the deen and to know the aqidah, as-salafiyyah, as-sahihah, as-salimah, to know the correct creed, to learn the usul of iman, and the usul before that, the usul al-islam and usul al-iman, to learn about the pillars of faith and to know them with detail. Because the Quran, it clarifies these issues. And whenever a person, he learns first these foundations and the deen is clear for him, and the foundations of the deen are clear for him, he will be able to see them. They'll be like keys for him whenever the Quran is recited or whenever he reads. Even for a person who cannot read the Arabic, they can only read the English, for example. If they learn properly the deen first and then after that read the translation, they will see these usul there, and it will be a means for their heart to open to understanding. This knowledge of the deen, it comes first. The understanding of tawheed, it comes first. The understanding of the creed and the belief in Allah and in His angels and in His books and in His messengers and in the last day and the events that occur in the last day and the meeting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these come first. Learning the decree in detail and knowing the pillars of faith properly and to be upon clarity, this comes first, even before memorizing Baqarah, even before memorizing Ali Imran, to know the deen and the obligation for one to know, to learn al-usul thalatha, for example, and al-qawaid al-arba, and the affairs like this. Learning these are the means, these are the keys to pondering over the Qur'an. How could someone ponder over the Qur'an that they don't understand the usul of the deen? Rather, the usul of the deen will be a means and a key for them and for their heart to be able to ponder. So therefore, to understand the meaning of some of the Quran and some of the verses that one recite particularly, but even before that, in order to understand those meanings, to understand the foundations of the deen, to learn the pillars about Islam properly and good, and to learn some proofs about that likewise, and to learn the foundations and the pillars of Iman and Ihsan in this manner, and to understand the Hadith of Jibreel properly, and to see the way of the Salaf and the obligation of following the Sahaba and affairs like this, one will begin to read the Quran, and now it will be a light for him, and he will see the truth, and it will be a means for his heart to open and to understand and to be able to ponder. And all of this likewise is indication of the great obligation, the need for a believer to be diligent and to strive and to spend time and effort and wealth, whatever it takes for him to learn the Arabic language, so that one can understand the Quran, it can be recited and he can go into his heart directly without translation or interpretation from anyone. And if a believer needs to understand something from the Sunnah, he can read the Hadith of the Messenger directly. This is something that a believer should strive for. And it'll be a means likewise for an individual to have khushu' and to have humbleness. One could learn the Arabic language and he could ponder even over the adhkar, sabah and masa'. If one pondered over the adhkar of the morning and the evening, which is from the statements of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he could find khushu' in his heart. He could find khushu' in his heart by learning the usul and pondering over these statements. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islami deena wa bi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam nabiyya. Like this, and pondering over what that means, one will find khushu' in his heart in the morning and in the evening. Asbaha wasbahna ala fitrat al-islam wa kalimat al-ikhlas wa ala deeni nabi Muhammad. Allahu akbar. Allahu akbar. One ponders over this and he understands the usul of the deen, he can ponder and find khushu' in his heart and humbleness and humility and show thanks to Allah. If this is the case with the statements of the Messenger, then how about from the statements of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Alladhi laysa kamithlihi shay' wa huwa as-sami'u al-basir. So I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you all beneficial knowledge and righteous actions, and to increase you and steadfastness in the deen, and to make you beneficial for your families and upright, believing and pious, righteous sisters upon the way of a Salafiyah truthfully and honestly, being sincere with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make you a light for your community. Hadha wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.